Yeah, amen. Thank you, Brother James, for sharing that. That's for sure. We are we have a lot of responsibility for what we hear. As he shared, you know, we can hear a lot of things, but if we don't put into application and be doers of the word, just hearers, it's no use. So may God help us to be doers. We put things into practical application, the things that we hear. So thank you for that. Yeah, I just want to greet each and every one of you this morning as well. Here, it's a blessing to be here with you brothers again. And I greet you in Jesus' name, the name that is above every other name, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that set us free, as James shared, the blood that dripped from the cross that gave us opportunity. He died so we could have life. So yes, good to be here. And I just want to also, I know that many of these families here I don't know, but I've been hearing about you from my my son-in-law Leon. He was wanting to be here this morning again for I think the second time, and his last child I think got the chicken pots, and hopefully next time. But yeah. So it's good to hear you. I've been hearing what the Lord's been doing with you down there in the Park County there. And I praise the Lord for that. It's exciting when we hear men here seeking the Lord and wanting what God has for you. That's a blessing. I know that we were in Quincy, Michigan a couple months ago. There's a little handful of families there that came out, and they were seeking the Lord, and we went out there to visit them one Sunday and talking to them and trying to connect with them afterwards, and we could see right away that they wasn't really interested in what we had. And so we invited them to our meetings. We had a couple meetings that happened there in Allen County and some of our singings, and then we just heard that they end up just going to a church there in town where we wouldn't share very many applications with them. But yeah, so it's a blessing to hear what God is doing there. So okay, so let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews 13. I'm going to do something I didn't do before, expository preaching on Hebrews 13 here today. As a while back, we read this through our family devotions here at home, and I was inspired by it as the heading of my Bible. I have a Matthew Henry Bible, and on top of it says a service well pleasing to God. And a lot of these things here I'm just going to touch on. I'm not going to expound every verse to the T, but this here is going to give me a message here just to encourage. And as I was pondering, what could I share? Because I know there's some in here that's been born again for 25 years, some here maybe 10. A few of you are just finding the Lord, just got born again. So I was just pondering, what could I share? And I was thinking about, you know, the essentials of overcoming and enduring, and which is a very, very importance as well, because we have many that begin with us 20 years ago are not doing so well today, and it's probably because they're not they're not taking the word of God and applying it to their lives as they did 20 years ago. So as I go through this, I trust that you'll be blessed. Those things will come out that can encourage you on. And there will be nothing shared probably today that you haven't heard. But just as we heard from James, it's important that we gather together to encourage one another in the word. So that is that is my heart. So with that, I have a word of prayer, and we'll begin. We'll read from 1 to 17 in Hebrews 13. Eternal, righteous Father, as we do bow here this morning, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to come, Lord, as children of the King. Lord, we know that just a few short years ago, we had no desire to hear from you. We had no desire to come and sing praises unto you. We had no desire to to take up the Word of God and to apply these facts and to have you change us. But today we're here with a group of brothers and sisters that love you. And Lord, it is a blessing. It's just we know that it's rare that you can go to a place and throughout this country and find groups of men and women that love the Lord with all the heart, soul, and mind. So today, Lord, we ask you to bless this little gathering. Bless my little messenger, Lord. I'll ask you to anoint that, Father, that you would speak through me, Father, that you would, unless you bring forth with the Holy Spirit to interpret, Lord, it could be a dry message. But we know, Lord, that you are faithful and just, and we know that you meet us. We're one or two are gathered, and here we are, and we ask you, Father, to bless this little time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's read from 1 to 17. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, which suffer adversity, to as yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men should do unto me. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have occupied therein. We have an altar whereof we have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts which blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are buried without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore into him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Okay, so the title of the message here that I have here will be the service well pleasing to God. And that is just being spent for God, being spent for the kingdom of God. And the very first verse, it says, let brotherly love continue. It means to maintain a strong bond of affection and mutual support among believers, treating each other with kindness and respect and compassion as if they were their family. Brotherly love in this context refers to the love shared among Christians who is considered spiritual siblings within God's family. And I can relate to that. It's a blessing to come here, you know, as it talks about considered spiritually siblings. And I know that we grew up in a large family. There was 15 of us total, 13 boys and 2 girls. And today we're still very close. We're always a very close family. We always spent a lot of time together and we loved each other. But as I know that when I got born again and God changed my heart, the brothers in Christ become as my love for them were as just as much as my siblings. And it's a blessing to walk with brothers that have like-minded, that love the Lord. it's a blessing. So we see this verse, we need to let the love of God flow through us as into others. Let the brotherly love continue. And we know without the Holy Spirit, without the love of God working in us, we will not be able to be a channel, let the love flow through us. Now think of that as the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is just, it's a big sea where water runs into it. Runs in, but there's not an outlet, if I understand that right. And the water there becomes stale and infested and all that. So same way with us, you know, we need to allow the love of God work through us into each other. Let brotherly love continue. It's extending love even when it's challenging. It means loving others even when they may not be particularly lovable. And I'm sure that there's probably times in your life that happened. There's some people that maybe, I don't know if I should say that, could say it like this, sometimes they're hard to love. And I believe that God puts them in our paths at times just to see how we can love them. And when we allow brotherly love continue, and when I'm talking about that brother, he's a brother. But yet some are maybe a little difficult, but God help us. It is easy, easy to love those that love you. Amen. We can do that. That's not a problem at all. By practicing brotherly love, Christians are reflecting the love of God who first loved us. And 1 John 3, a few words here, verses 11 through 17, it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Wherefore, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath the world's goods, and see if his brother has need, he shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So we see that love here is an action word. It's as I was sharing with Jaden the other day, my son talked about, we was talking about that, or I don't know if it was my son Jaden or who that was. Yeah, it was my son Jaden, about when we see a brother in need, or we see somebody in need, and we say, "Lord, just help him," and we go on our way. He says that is not the love. When we see a brother have need and shut up our bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God? So love is the action word, that we would let the brotherly love continue in our lives. So verse 2 here, verse 2 and 3, as it says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And remember them that are in bonds, those that are in prison." The scripture talks about visit those that are in prison, the sick, the weak, the widows and all that, which have suffered adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So it instructs believers to practice hospitality, especially by not neglecting to show kindness to strangers, because some who have done it have unknowingly entertained angels. And that's an interesting thought. Maybe there was someone, that we, as I was pondering on this here, there's times anymore we're traveling down the road and you see a car offside the ditch and the blinking lights on, and then you quickly think, well, they probably got a phone, which a lot of times they do. You stop and you ask if you can help, and they say, "Oh, I got help coming." But I go, a lot of times I go on by and I'm thinking, maybe that person might not have a phone. So I think in my heart, as I see that, especially as I pondered this verse here yesterday morning that I was studying, that it might be somebody. Because I'll share a little incident here. Let me finish this here. And you done, if you see somebody in a flat tire needing a ride, and you done that, and you shared the word and given them a gospel track, and you put them on the way, and they went, and are entertaining angels, or maybe we just went right on by. And sometimes it gets you in an unpredictable situation. Like many years ago, I'll just share this right here as I was thinking of this here yesterday, that if we would have drove on by, we would have missed out opportunity that lasted for many, many years. We was traveling down 469, coming home from town, passing out some gospel tracts that we do there once a month there in Allen County. As we was traveling, and I seen a car with blinking lights, and I got closer, and I see the tire was off. The axle actually broke. And I went on by, and I thought, oh, I seen those two old women. So we stopped, me and my wife and my children. So we backed up. We backed all the way up along the highway. When we got back there, and sure enough, the tire was off, and they was from Canada. These two women, one was, both of them was old, and I'll just share, one was really pleasant, and one was not so pleasant to deal with. But I asked them if we could help, and they said, well, yeah, we need a mechanic to fix her tire. So as we was talking there and figuring out what to do, and I called Merv, and Merv said, yeah, he can do it Tuesday morning, and this is Saturday night, about probably 7:30, 8 o'clock. So we arranged that to have a tow truck come out and picked it up, and I started calling some hotels to try to find them some lodging. You know, it's like entertain. You know, we need to be hospitable, right? So I started calling some hotels, and I found one. I told them about what I found, and the one that's not so pleasant said, "That's too much. Can you find one cheaper?" And I made some more calls, and I couldn't find any cheaper. So I told her, I said, "Well, it's either this hotel here or my house." And she goes, "Yeah, we'll take your house." And I was like, okay. I said, I live out in the country. And she said, no, that's okay. We'll come to your house. I'm thinking, you know, yeah, she wasn't real pleasant. And I don't think my wife was real excited about it either, just knowing how she was there. But anyway, we took her there, and we got to talking with them. And they were from Canada. Yes, one claimed to be a Christian. And the other one claimed went to church too, but I don't know for sure where they're at. But anyway, through all that, they spent Sunday, went to church with us, Monday, and part of the day Tuesday. But through all that, it was a blessing. I mean, it caused a relationship there with them for almost 8 years. They text, called, or emailed regularly just to see how we're doing, and just sharing what God is doing in their hearts. And we even invited them to a wedding, and they came up to Leon and Jen's wedding. It came out. But I believe, you know, as I ponder that, what would have happened if we were right on by? And I think God did a great work in all of that, and we almost drove all on by. So we're entertaining angels. I know they weren't angels there where they could have been, but my mind went there, you know. So my mind to that is that may we be about the kingdom's business, whatever it may be. If we're about the kingdom's his business, God will use us in a mighty way. As I was pondering on this here in Genesis 18, talking about angels unawares, Genesis 18, there were Abraham met these three, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Abraham here at this time realized that this was the Lord. Says here, let me read the first few verses here. I'll just read from 1 to 15, and you can get a few thoughts out of that just as I read. Ponder that, how Abraham, as what he did here. And the Lord appeared unto him by the plains of Mamre, and he sat on the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. He said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort as your hearts, and you shall pass on. For therefore are you to come your servant. And he said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent and Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of the fine meal, net it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran into the herd, and he fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young men, and he hasted to dress it. Now, as I was pondering this here, I don't think Abraham knew that this was the Lord and the angels. And I read this, like, Lord, help me to be more like this when there's a need. Lord, you know, sometimes we can even be respecters of persons, and I'll get to a little bit of that later. But he took butter and the milk and a calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is thy Sarah thy wife? And we'll just stop there. We know what happened there. on there. But I was greatly challenged by that hospitable spirit there from Abraham, as he went out and he took his he sacrificed, got one of his old calves or his sheep, and he fixed it. Now, I don't think Abraham knew that he was aware of the supernatural powers. And I don't feel he was a respecter of persons there either. So James 2:9, there, just a few verses there, a few words to go with that. I think it was James. Yeah, James 2, verses 1 to 9 there. My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, which respect of persons. For if they come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in a vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit thou here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this the world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which ye have promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme the worthy name which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy enemies as thyself. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law, transgressors. So I'll just stop with there. So just forget not to entertain angels. That we would have a heart that is hospitable. Remember them that are in bonds, those that are sick, those that are in prisons, it says. So God help us as we go forth here. In verse 4, it seemed like I was going to skip over that verse, trying to figure out how that verse got put into this chapter here. But I do want to take a moment to expound on that as well. Marriage is honorable to all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So as I've seen that, it's sort of stuck right in here. It seemed like out of context, but it is not a blessing to be married to the love of your life and be happy. I mean, today, I mean, there, I can say that there's in my after I was born again, there is I was never once longing ever another woman to be married to. And it's a blessing. And the world out, you know, and the world outside of it justifies, especially adulterers, the adulterous life, the divorce and remarriage. They're justifying those things. But to be married to the love of your life and desire no other, outside of the Spirit of God, we know that's not possible. So the Christians around us are divorcing, remarriage, and justifying themselves. As I had a neighbor man that came over, and I know that there's circumstances where divorce or separation, you might want to say that can be separation, I should say, be tolerated, but not remarriage, because as we read a few scriptures here in Matthew. So I just want to expound on that just a little bit. And I know, like I said, that nothing here that you have not heard. But Matthew 19. But anyway, my neighbor, yeah, he come over and he showed me the papers that his wife, the one that initiated the separation. And I just said, well, you know, if she initiated it and she leaves you, and I said, you can be free. But I said that never, you're never to remarry again. And that's the last time, yeah, we spent a lot of time together. That's the last time that I actually seen him. He quit calling me and all that, and he ended up getting remarried and all that. But here, the word of God on divorce from 1 to 8. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished those sayings and departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea behind Jordan, the great multitude followed him and healed them there. And the Pharisees also came to him, tempting him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto him, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be twain one flesh. Wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, then why did Moses then command to give writings of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of their hearts, he suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. For the hardness of the hearts, that's why that's happened. It's the hardness of the man's heart, where they cannot, where they don't let God work in their hearts, first of all, then the love of God cannot flow through through their lives, and the heart becomes hard. Hardness of the hearts. And one more place here in 1 Corinthians 7. You don't have to turn to all of them if you don't want. I'll touch on some of these here as we go through. But I thought, since the verses here, I'd like to just expound on just that a little bit, just as a reminder. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 8 to 11. It says, I say therefore the unmarried and widows, it is good for them. It is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than burn. And unto the married I command you yet, not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. And if she departs, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband be put away his wife. So we just, again, see that as the word of God. And I know the world around us, I mean, over and over, just like a man that grew up in our community, a lot of you would know him. I met him one day at Walmart, and he come up and said, hey, Mark, how you doing? I said, yeah, good. Good to see you. His name was John. And he said, hey, meet my wife. I said, okay. I said, but this is not your wife. I said, your wife is so-and-so. I said, am I right? And he got a little upset with me, and his wife there was there just started looking at me like, you know, like, what's he talking about? But he told me that his minister in his church where he goes to says this and this and this. This is why he can remarry for. The ministers are justifying divorce and remarried outside of the Word of God. So God help us that we would be always in the Word, know what the Word of God says, that we would not be deceived at any time. So let us continue on seeking God. In the verse 5 there, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. To continue on, let me read one verse here first in 1 Timothy 6. Before I go on and share my thought there. Because 1 Timothy 6, we know those words there, what it says. Perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supputing the gain of godliness, from such withdrawal therefore. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. But they that be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and that many foolish and hurtful lusts have, and which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which will some coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we see here on let your conversation be without covetousness. So to continue on being surrendered and living a life pleasing to God, a covetous heart cannot be within. May God help us there. When we give ourselves to the love of money and pleasures, your love of God will always diminish, always. Because he says there in Matthew 6 there, just read a few verses there, where we can't serve God and mammon both. There's it's not possible. As he says here, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body? more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the earth, or the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed in one like these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, and whether you shall you be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Then Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom. Take thought about not tomorrow, for tomorrow should take thought of the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. But may we seek first the kingdom of God. With food and raiment be content. Now, in reality, that is all we need, right? Food and raiment. I mean, as we're in walking with Christ. Naked we came into this world, and naked we shall leave. That was a real reality recently. My wife's mom passed away, and my mom and dad both in the last 5 years. And I learned a lot from my dad. My dad worked by the hour all of his life. You know, remember I said we have 15 siblings, a large family. And he did not make a lot of money. And he was offered a lot of times from some of his siblings, not me, a few others that wanted to go out laying brick, you know, being self-employed, but he just rather just work by the hour. And what I've seen through him in my life, even in his unconverted state, he was not the one that needed a lot of stuff. It seemed like he was just content. It seemed like God gave enough food and raiment for the large family. And he seemed like he was always content. So that spoke to me a lot. And yet, praise the Lord, I talked about his unconverted state, and I feel that my dad got converted before he died, and I know he did. But as we put our mom and dad into the grave, buried them in a hole 3 foot wide, 6 foot deep, and six foot long, and that's all my dad needed. And he left everything that he had. Like I said, it wasn't a lot of stuff, but he left it to his siblings. You can't take it with us. Naked we come into this world, and naked we shall leave. So the verse that we were pondering on there, let our minds not be covetous. Let your conversation be without covetousness, without a covetous heart. Be such things. Let's be content with food and raiment. Be about our Father's business. In Philippians 2, here, read a few verses on 1 through 15 here, I think. As it ties in with that verse there. Starting in verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But God himself, of no reputation, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made into the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, on things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the God and Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to do his will of good pleasures. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless in the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. And the brother shared that this morning already, that may we shine as lights in this world. As this community, the world around us is dark. And may we be that light that they need. Okay. Let's go on to the verse 6 there. I think I might have to hurry a little bit here. Verse 6 ties in somewhat with verse 5 there. That emphasizes that we as believers can have confidence in God's help, which should eliminate our fear of what humans might do to us. It's a declaration of trust in God's power and His presence in our lives. Can we trust God for our future? Can we trust God, or do we feel we need a large savings account saved up for when we get old? And I'm not saying that I don't think about that at times, but Jesus' words throughout the Scriptures, as He promises that we, as we heard this morning, He is faithful and He is just. In Matthew 11, as He says, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." And the verses after verses go through. "Come upon Me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." And we see that His promises for us. And why do we worry at times on what God provide? When we see year after year He's so faithful in giving us what we need year after year. I'm not saying that He doesn't have to give us the things that we need. I mean, we know that there's Christians over the world that are being persecuted and killed for Jesus' sake. But yet here he is so faithful. But he is our helper. As David says there in Psalms 121, "I will lift up My eyes unto Thy hills, from whence cometh My help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We will not suffer Thy foot to be moved. He will not suffer Thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Thee will not slumber." And praise be to God, and that He will not change His mind. As we'll get to later, He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. And throughout the Bible, the promises that God will care for His children. So verse 7 there, 7 will go with 17, both of them. Verse 17 instructs believers to remember and honor the spiritual elders or the leaders who have spoken God's words to them, to consider the outcome of their lives, to imitate their faith, and not to imitate the person, but imitate the faith of the brother. And we know here as Brother John here is an elder, it talks about, "Remember them which have the rule over you, and who have spoken unto you the word of God." And it talks a little bit about that in 17 as well. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. For they must give account." So they're held a double accountable, yet but also double honorable. As it says there in 1 Timothy 5, I'll just turn there for a few verses there. 17-19. "Let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle thy ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." So let's continue to pray for the elders and the leaders, as it says there in James as well. It says that they are held more accountable. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation." We just read that the other morning as well, as pondering that. It's an interesting verse there. I think it was James 3:1. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnations." And they have a greater responsibility. They're going to give an account for how they dealt with things and how they taught the word of God. So, yeah, let's continue on lifting them up. So verses 8 and 9 of Hebrew, in Hebrews 13 here. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that your heart be established with grace, not with meats which have profited them that have occupied therein. That's the verse is emphasizing that Jesus Christ and His Word will never change, and He warns against being led astray by false teachers. And verse 9 encourages believers to be steadfast in the Word of God that it says is to be lived out. The writer then cautions us as believers against being influenced by divers and strange doctrines, urging to find stability and establishment in God's grace rather than relying on eternal practices. So a service well-pleasing to God is keeping ourselves unspotted from the things of this world, keeping our gaze fixed upon Jesus Christ, the Lord of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we know the world around us they are being deceived with the Word of God as we go out in the streets and share. Many of them are even questioning Jesus Christ, let alone God. They're saying that this world began with a big bang. There's nothing to do with God. So let's continue on reading the Word of God, doing the Word of God. It's a service well-pleasing to God when we take the Word of God and be lived out in this dark, perverse nation that we're in. And many, the majority of this world, the population, are caught up in strange doctrines and are perishing in the eternal damnation. So I just wrote here, do we have a burden for those souls today? Some examples in the New Testament, Humanus and Alexander, their false teachings and their resurrection. Apollos, a powerful orator, arrived in Ephesus with an incomplete understanding of the gospel. It's when Priscilla and Aquila that took them aside and corrected them. That's what we're here today as well. May the false doctrines and the ungodliness around us. God wants us to shine as lights in this dark world. That we would just we have a message for them. We all know that we came from that dark setting, that dark world, without a message. We didn't have a message 30 years ago, but today we have a message to share. The service well pleasing to God is part of working in the kingdom of God. Sharing, having a burden for the lost souls around us. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they took and turned and twisted them into their own destruction. So may we be good Bereans and search out the Word of God and know what the Word says and be not deceived. God help us that we would be good Bereans and search out the Word and be used for the kingdom of God, a service well pleasing to God. Now here we go from 10 to 13 here. It says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat within which serve the tabernacles. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary in the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the body or the people with his own blood, suffered without his gate. Let us forth, therefore, go into the camp, bearing his reproach. And the altar there we know that refers to the cross of Jesus Christ. It's where we find our forgiveness of sins. It's where we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, as it says there in 1 John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Going back to the altar. We have an altar today. And then the other one that says, whereof we have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Those that are... have not found the altar. Those that still don't believe that Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, they still their own old Testament ways in sacrificing. They said they have no right to eat. They will never find the cross through the Old Testament. As He forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, they want to say praise God. Whoever may come, Jesus says, come. It's the only way to be reconciled back to God. As Ephesians 2:8 says, for we are saved by grace through faith. It's not ourselves, it's a gift from God. Not of works, lest any should boast. And there's no more sacrifices for sins other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we know And in the Old Testament, every time there was a sin, they went out and they took one of their best sheep or the goats, whatever, and they offered up as a sacrifice. And we know that today we have an altar that Jesus Christ once and for all came and offered up his body so we can find that forgiveness at the foot of the cross on anything that maybe we struggle with. If we fall into temptation or into sin, we have an altar. There's no more sacrifices for sin other than Jesus Christ and crucified. In Hebrews 6, verses 4 and 6, it says, "It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come." It says, "If they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, to seeing them crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put them to open shame." And it says, you know, here it says that we have no, and have tasted the good word of God and power of the word to come. If they fall away, to renew themselves again into repentance. That is at the altar of Jesus Christ. No more sacrifice. In Hebrews 10, verse 26 says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins except Jesus Christ and Him crucified at the altar. The last part of that verse on 10 there, I think I maybe shared a little bit on that, where it says that it says that whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. And it's those that offer up sacrifices for their sins. They have no right of this altar. Jesus Christ offered it once and for all. So praise the Lord for that. So we see that the Levitical priests who served in the temple offering sacrifices under the old covenant, they had no right to participate in the benefits of the Christian's altar. That's Christ's sacrifice, because they were still relying on the old system, which was ultimately fulfilled and replaced by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And I just wrote there today, there's still millions of people trying to reach God through the tabernacle, and it's impossible. It is Jesus Christ, the answer for all of us. So verses 14 to 16 here, a few more thoughts here in closing here. I don't have a long message. Where it says, "For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices, the praises of God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and to communicate not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they which watch out for your souls, that they must give account, and they may do it with joy, not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you." So from 14 to 16, we are just pilgrims and strangers passing by. Amen? We have no continued sitting here. God, may God help us that we are not seeking things and building mansions on this life. Because we're just pilgrims and strangers passing by. Is that what the people see in me around? Are people seeing that in me? Or are they seeing that in you? What are they viewing in our lives today? Are they viewing us building mansions on this land? What is our lives reflecting? Do people around us see that we are not of this kingdom? That we're just pilgrims and strangers passing by? The homeowners, we do a lot of work throughout the town at Fort Wayne there. I meet homeowners at least three to four times each week, different homeowners, different jobs that we work for. Are we doing their job more than just money? Do they see that? Do they see that we're more, it's more than just about their job. It's more than about just building their porch. We're more than about doing the little garage. Can they see that in us? Can they see that we're just pilgrims and strangers passing by? They will see us if we take verse 14 as it says, "For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world will pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. May we be about our Father's business. May the world see us that we are pilgrims and strangers. We're peculiar people. They can see us that we have been with God. They can see that we've been with Jesus. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So my message here, I have a few more verses I want to read in closing there, closing in Titus 2. But a service well pleasing to God is when a person is dead to self, dead to his flesh, and about the kingdom of God. It's not about me, it's about others. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. So just a few words of encouragement here this morning that we would continue on. We all begin a journey. Some maybe 24 years ago, 25, some maybe 8, 10, some maybe within the last 5 years, maybe the last year. Doesn't matter where we're at in this life. May we continue on putting on the breastplate of righteousness and the harness, the buckler, or the helmet of salvation of Jesus Christ, and be used by Him as we go forth. Because this, as we read, this everything in this life is going to pass away someday. And I know you all know that. Just an encouragement again, as I read through this, and I was just inspired again to think differently on some things that sometimes the busyness of life that comes, and we get caught up in some of that.